Blog Talk Radio.
Hello there. Welcome to the Andy Mandia Show. Who do we have here? Hello? Hello, hello? Hello? Good morning, everybody. I want to welcome you all to the Andy and Amanda Monday. Well, it's not Monday. It's Monday morning here in our Los Angeles studios. We have a cloudy, rainy day, much needed rain, but something we don't get a lot of here, and it's a pleasure to see it. And it is the Monday morning Andy and Amanda program. We are all set and getting ready to do our show today for the week. This is the first of our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday show. Waiting for Amanda Love to join us in the UK, and I'm sure she'll be with us momentarily. We do join the USA and the UK together for 90 minutes of fun time discussion about the news and headlines and what's going on in your life and what's going on in our life. Our phone number to get on the show is, ready? Take this down. Don't forget this number, 515-605-9888. That gets you into our show, and we look forward to having conversations with you, and we hope you enjoy listening to our conversation discussion. There's a lot to go over. Of course, on Mondays, we're going to cover the news of the weekend. We have a special guest joining us as well, and we're going to be all about that, and waiting for our co-host here, Amanda Love, to join the show, and she'll be with us in just a couple of minutes. So how was your weekend, everybody? I'm hoping you had a good time and we're out. I know the COVID numbers are flattening. This is not indicative of it being over, but I think people being more careful and people being vaccinated and so forth, and that combination is really driving down the numbers here. I don't think it's any indication that the crisis is waning. I think we're going to have some more time on this, and we're going to see what happens in. Oh, who's that number coming in? That's on the wrong phone line. It's our phone line is 515-605-9888 to join the show. We hope to hear from you. But anyway, as I was saying, the COVID numbers are. You know, they're coming down. They're flattening. It's early on Monday. Our new deaths today in COVID are 66 in the USA. Yesterday, the total amount of deaths was 629. 2 days ago, there were 1,037. Just a few months ago, we were reading numbers of 4,000 and more. Let's see what we're doing here. Going on today's agenda. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Who do we have here?
Good morning.
Who do we have here?
This is author J.M. Pozon.
I thought it was you. Good morning. How are you doing? Thank you for joining the show this morning. My goodness. Yeah, great to have you aboard. Where are you? You're on the East Coast, am I right?
Yes, I am. I'm actually in Michigan. I'm in Michigan.
I have a big family in Michigan, big family in north of Detroit, in Oakland County.
Okay, so I got to ask the question, U of M fam or Spartan?
Well, I am not from Michigan. Let me ask my wife. Wait a minute. I better get this one right. I guess, which one's in Ann Arbor? That one.
That would be U of M, maize and blue.
There we go. Is that the right answer?
Yes, I am a U of M fan. Yay.
Yeah. There we go. I've got, my in-laws and, big family in Michigan. I'm in the West Coast there now. I don't get there. I haven't been there in quite a while, but we used to go for, some of the holidays and visiting, and my kids have 25 first cousins there, that kind of thing, big family out there. So it's been I love it. Who would ever think that, having been to Michigan so often and traveled, the state's beautiful. I mean, Traverse City, Sleeping Bear Dunes, Port Huron, and there's so much to do and travel and see and camp. I mean, it's really great. I got to tell you a funny story. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Young and single, oh, those are the days. No, when I was young and single, and I remember leaving I'm from Philadelphia. I remember, with a real good friend of mine since I was, actually this friend of mine was my brother's friend when I was a toddler. And as I got older, we became real good friends. And to this day, so we've known each other our whole lives practically. So we're leaving this bar in Philadelphia out one night, and I'm walking down the street towards our car. And I said, Ford, it's really interesting. And he's like, what? We're meeting women, we're having fun. I had a girlfriend, all these, it's a wonderful life here, meeting, going out and seeing. But what if here we are now, and like this perfect Miss Wright, like this perfect woman exists right now in the world, and she's like in Michigan. Well, I ended up marrying a girl from Michigan. what would have happened if I said Butte, Montana?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But anyway,
well,
it's a pleasure having you.
I'm a firm believer in the law of attraction.
Oh yeah. That makes two of us. I'm telling you. You're from you are from Michigan. Is that right? Is that your hometown? Or
yes, I am from Michigan. I lived in Cali for a few, but yes, my hometown is Michigan.
Well, great. Well, welcome aboard the Andy and Amanda show. I'm not sure where Amanda is. I really don't know. She might be lost. She's 8,000 miles away, and I try to find her. I'm putting out the radar for her out here. I don't know where Amanda is, but hey, it's you and I. You know what I mean? Like, welcome aboard.
Thank you guys for having me again. Appreciate that.
It's great having you. It's great having you with us today, or with on the show. We are. We have followers and listeners in 15 countries around the world who are chiming in on our conversation. Hello, everybody. Welcome aboard. And, so we spend, the whole globe in several time zones, and the show is growing. It's great having this audience. We're also, after this live show, we have a significant population around the world that downloads our podcast, which is this show, really. It's a radio show that turns into a podcast. I don't really know how it works. But anyway, this show becomes a podcast and is distributed by iHeartRadio and iTunes and so many other distributors, and we thank them all. It gives our, the listenership of the show, although you can't call in on the podcast. You can call in right now at 515-605-9888 and join the conversation. But we have a significant population that listens to the show via podcast, which is terrific, all around the world. It's pretty cool. So
that is awesome.
You have some books, you have some poetry, your career. I was just looking as to what your background is and what your accomplishments are as an author and a poet. Do tell. It's exciting.
So I do a little bit of everything. I am a four-time award-winning author, self-published author. So I kind of first came out with my romance novel, and then from there I did three poetry books. I was just recently featured in the New York Times and LA Tribune. And I won an award for my last one, Stardust, which is a poetry book. And it's about women empowerment. And so it was dubbed by the Urban Reader as a spiritual catharsis in written words.
Well, wow. Just so our listeners know, they can get this book or look into it further. Where is it on Amazon or the usual book outlets? Is that?
Yeah. So it's on Amazon. I'm in Barnes and Noble. All the usual suspects.
There we go. And when was that? is that your most recent publication? Is that the book that came out most recently?
Yeah, so that one and Passion Fruit are my two most recent poetry books. I actually did a double release where I released both of them at the same time, and that was, I would say, like 3 months ago where I released both of them.
Mm-hmm.
I released both of those. I write a little bit of everything. I'm currently, right now, I'm writing screenplays. So I'm moving over into the acting realm. Like, I've been doing acting. I did my first movie last year.
What movie was that? Congratulations. Wow. What was that?
Yes. So I did, Match Made, which will be in theaters this November. And I'm also working on a couple other movies. And my latest, the one that we're filming right now, is called Love and Fate, which will be on Vimeo and Amazon Prime. So I'm like really trying to get into all of the outlets. I want to do it all. But I really enjoy the screenwriting. I still love the books, but I love the screenwriting.
I have a question for you, because you're doing this and you've done it, and we've talked about this in the show previously with other guests. We've had authors on and folks who, you know, for pilots who've written books that are exciting that they want to get turned into movies or TV shows. The process of writing a screenplay and then presenting it and getting it produced, that's one heck of a trip, isn't it? That's one heck of a road to go down.
It is. Like, well, you know that so many several drafts and rewrites that you're going to go through, and that's even before you start to even look at like pitch tables and like putting it together and all of the, it's a lot that goes into it. It's a lot of work, but I guess I'm one of those crazy I'm a masochist, I guess. A glutton for punishment.
Oh, geez. So when you're writing a screenplay, is it based on a book, or is it just, you know, out of the gate, a screenplay for a production, a film production?
So the three that I have, because I currently have three that I've written out, they were all original content, original ideas. However, the one that I want to do, my first one, which was that novel book, I do want to look into turning that into a film in the future.
Well, how would you classify your work, your written work? And so what genre, where does it come from? Where does it live in terms of, you know, subject, material, philosophical roots, and so forth? What would you say?
I think it's a little bit of everything. I did grow up a major fan of philosophy. And another thing that I was really into, don't hold it against me, but I had this really strange infatuation with Greek mythology growing up. It was the weirdest thing.
Wow.
It stems from that. And just like overall philosophy, like Stardust, for example. Again, it's poetry, it's poems about women empowerment, but it's more so I ask these women to envision themselves as these bright stars up in heaven, and that we were magically brought down to earth. And in this transition, like, we were too bright to look upon. So we had to shed all of that star energy, and we were then blanketed in like flesh and skin. And in that transition, that we forgot that we were made of light and energy, that we're so much more than just flesh and bone. So it's like this call to action, prompting people to look at their self as spiritual beings and outside of this realm.
Wow. Exciting. Whoa. What got you into it? What was your, when you first, you know, you have a, as a matter of fact, it must have been for your first project, you know, coming from having not a published work to suddenly you're a published author. Wow. You know, what a breakthrough. What was your motivation? What did you see as I got it? What was your drive? What was your commitment to say, hey, I'm going to do this. I'm going to pursue this. This is who I am. And what do you think, you know, what was your within you that made this happen?
See, like, I think that I started writing at a very young age, you know, but in grade school, it was always, you know, I kept a journal, a diary, and it was just like all of these things that I kind of put down onto paper. And then I was like, well, you know, what if I did something with it? Like, what if I put it out for other people? Because I'm sure a lot of the things that I go through, it's got to be at least somebody out there that's going through the exact same thing. And maybe this will help them. And so, like, that was my initial motivation. And so, like, that's what I did. I just took, like, I basically had a couple books or, you know, written just, like, in diary form and journals. And I just one day was like, you know what, I'm going to type it up. I'm going to do it. I'm going to turn it into a book.
Fantastic! What an adventure! What an adventure. And the latest Stardust is a book. Would you say poetry for the most part, or
yes, poetry. It's poetry.
Wow. So and that's not your yet. You didn't start as a poet, or did you? Did you? Is that?
I wrote poetry. I wrote stories. Like I often get asked. Like a lot of times people are like, yeah, you do the acting, you do the screenwriting, you do the books. Would you consider yourself more of a writer than you would like an actress or a screenwriter per se? And like I tell everyone all the time, I'm a storyteller, like in any medium that it takes, you know, so I don't care what medium it takes on. I just love telling stories, and like even with the acting, it's just another medium to do so. The screenwriting is a medium to tell stories. Even poetry, you're telling a story. So I would just like classify myself as like a storyteller.
Great. That's wonderful. It's wonderful to hear. So it's going well so far. Things are going well. Did you get up to L.A.?
Yes.
Did you come out here for? You said you were in L.A. for a while. Did you, anything happening in terms of production here that you've been involved with?
Not yet. I actually have a couple things on the table that I cannot speak about just yet, but I'm going to cross my fingers.
I know how that is. I'm in LA. I know how that is. Yeah.
But actually, I'm actually really excited. So God willing, everything plays out the way that it's supposed to.
We've had several folks in from production and actors. We had Mark Lester on from the film Oliver, if you remember, and we've had some actors and people in production on the show. We've kind of it's been a really intriguing and interesting and informative conversation. Just the whole, because we're getting various glimpses of how the business works, being on it, not just as an industry, but actually being involved day to day. What's it like on set? How are these things happen? How are these things written? Who gets to do it? How do you get to do it? And it's been fascinating. I mean, it's been great. And the show's almost taken a focus on that industry in the past couple of weeks. Amanda is with us now.
I am. Hello, sweetheart.
Hey, how are you doing?
Hello, darling. I'm so sorry to arrive late like this. Oh, my goodness. Talk about technical issues.
Amanda, not to make you jealous, but I've been enjoying having Jay Imposen to myself here. So if you want to just...
that's okay. No, I can leave you guys to it. That's no problem. How are you doing, sweetheart? You doing good, both of you?
I am good. Thank you. How are you this morning?
Yes, my afternoon. I'm doing good, thank you, darling. Yeah, just I get frustrated when I'm struggling to get on the show. Poor Andy must think, where's that bloody Amanda again? Where she turns
up? My wife. You know what I mean? You can't take her anywhere. You know what I'm saying? No, she's not. Amanda and I. Amanda's. I'm Amanda's internet husband, and she's my internet wife. We've never met.
I know. It's a crazy situation, but it's fun.
It is crazy. And the person who put us together, his name's Cornell Butler. He's in Delaware. And he put the show together. And neither one of us have ever met Cornell. So go figure.
Yeah, the three of us take it on pure faith that we're going to be a great team. And we seem to make it work, don't we, guys?
It's done with 274 episodes of Coast to Coast. And we've had, as I said earlier, we've had a lot of great guests, fun conversation, fun audio, you know, comedic things that we've had a lot of fun with regarding, you know, politics and figures in the news and so forth. It's been a blast. It's been a lot of fun. A lot of work, but a lot of fun. We do enjoy it. Yeah, we really do.
I'm sorry to rudely step into the conversation midway
you
like this, my darling. I really am. You know, I've got a list of things in front of me for our beautiful guest, and I don't know what I've missed, but I
you missed a lot. I gotta tell
head.
you missed a lot.
Oh, I have.
You know, she,
oh,
uh-huh.
Okay.
No, it's been okay. Yeah, anyway, no, go ahead, Amanda. I know you had some questions, and we're looking forward to having Jan Posen with us today. That is our guest, author, poet, actor, screenwriter, and it's a pleasure having Jan Posen on the Andy and Amanda Show today. Again, if you want to chime in the conversation, the number is 515-605-9888. Amanda, I know you had some questions. Go ahead. I won't, you know, let's have a conversation here.
I don't want to steal your limelight, mm-hmm. darling. I know you're having a wonderful time right now.
I have been. I was really getting into this, you know. I was going to get further,
yeah.
You know. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not going to break that vibe. Okay. So, right. Well, first of all, accept my apologies for being so late, sweetheart. It's wonderful to have you with us. And as I said, I don't know what you've covered so far. But, you know, I was so intrigued by the kind of things that you've done. And especially being an author and, you know, your whole passion for that. And I've seen that you do some actress work as well. And but the whole poetry and writing novels, and that's so inspiring to me. I like to write some poems here and there. I'm more of a songwriter than I am a poet, so I can relate to the whole poetry thing.
Yeah.
But reading some of the books that you've put out there, so you've got Setting Fire to the Darkness, Whiskey for the Wounded, Passion Fruit, Stardust. From Heaven to Earth We Fall, is that correct? Yeah. So that's absolutely amazing. Like, I saw glimpses of some of the pages that you put out there, and it's so deep and inspiring. And I see that you're quite a spiritual woman who, you know, you believe in empowerment. I just wondered if you could express in your own beautiful way, what inspires you to write about those things?
So I'll go. I know I touched on it a little bit, but to go in depth with Stardust, I had just come off of a really bad breakup, and so we as women, we all know that we've had one of those.
Yeah.
And you know, it was sort of like this thing where. It wasn't even the worst part of it for me. It wasn't the fact that I had lost this individual. It was that I had lost myself inside of this person. And so I had started off on this journey to find myself again.
Yeah.
And so that is how Stardust originally happened. And then in this, you know, in this journey, I had this sort of epiphany, and I was you know what, this is great. I need to share this with other women. So it's just I think one of the quotes in the book, it says, you know, as women, we tend to love so wholeheartedly that it's so easy for us to get lost in someone else's orbit, and we forget that we are the stars to light up the night sky.
Oh, absolutely. That's beautiful. I love the way you eloquently put that across. And I think it's so, so very true. We do. Andy, not to make you feel uncomfortable, you being a guy.
No, I'd love to be uncomfortable as a guy. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can relate to what you're saying, sweetheart. I mean, like you said, many of us have been there, and you do. You do tend to lose yourself in that aspect. And I think
I gotta say one thing. You know what I gotta say? I was talking to somebody last night about this. A lot of guys are jerks. Sometimes I'm embarrassed to be part of the species. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean,
as a male myself, and my friends through my life have always been women. Anyway, no, they really have been. Seriously, I don't know why that is, but it's just been that way. As a matter of fact, in wanting to go out with a girl, quite often I get the response, "You want to date me? You're like my sister." But anyway, that's why I just want to interject that I understand that, and I've heard so many stories about guys and what they've done and how they behave, and you scratch your head sometimes. But anyway, go ahead, Amanda. I just had to say that.
That's okay. So I think it can go to a really long, deep debate about, you know, men versus women, you know, how they're raised with their emotions and things like that. So I'm sure that plays a huge part in, you know, their upbringing. Everything starts from when we're kids, right? You know, the things that we're ingrained with, empowered with, and they set in stone within us. And so, you know, we end up creating a life or reality based on everything that we've been taught and conditioned with. So, you know, for the whole masculine aspect for men. You know, they want to be this figure for women, and they enjoy being that part. And for women, we like that emotional balance. We like to feel nurtured, needed, and loved. But also at the same time, we want that reliable, that safety, that strength that you can get from the opposite sex, right? So I get it. So it's quite often that battle, right, between the sexes and trying to meet on that level.
Like for me, it's not even about pinning women against men. It's more so about empowering them to love themselves. Because I think it's like, if we can love ourselves and we set that as our prerequisite, right? I believe that a lot of times we accept the love that we think that we deserve. So if we think low of ourselves, we're going to accept things that we would not accept if we truly loved ourselves. And I think it's like it's a quote in there that says, if you love yourself enough, you'll never let anybody enter your life and love you any less.
Yes. Yes, that's beautiful. And I agree with that. And I think, you know, what I've noticed is that so many of us are on that path, that journey right now. Even myself, I've come to a place in my life where all the focus seems to be on me. Everything in my life is reflecting and mirroring back to me. Hey, Amanda, pay attention. It's about you now.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, that scares a lot of us, right? We're actually scared to face ourselves and you know, go deeper and see what it is that's been an issue for ourselves, where we've been lacking, where we've been needing to shine that spotlight on that says, hey, okay, so work on this area, improve this. Don't pay attention so much to what you're giving out to everyone else in your life, and not only people, but, you know, the other areas of life that you pour yourself into, right? It's with work, etc., whatever it could be, everything. And it's a truly deeply spiritual experience to come back to yourself and say, okay, I'm brave enough to do this. I'm brave enough to face myself. I'm brave enough to say, I need this, and take that action for ourselves. And, you know, it's been a very scary step for me, very scary, but I'm starting to understand it little by little. And, you know, your timing with coming on the show, sweetheart, has been absolutely perfect.
Here we go.
You know, the irony is that when we start to work on ourselves and we start loving ourselves, it's like a ripple effect that just we're putting out a certain type of energy where we're going to start attracting a different caliber and level of guys. So if you ever heard that, be that what it is that you seek, be what you seek. So when we start doing those things, those are the type of individuals that we're going to start attracting. We're no longer, if we're broken, we're going to attract people that are broken. But when we do the hard work and we actually go through the healing process and we make ourselves better, then these are the individuals that are going to be like magnetized towards us.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you. There's many aspects of ourselves, like the law of attraction. I've always been a big fan of law of attraction, and I've noticed that playing a huge part in my life. So, you know, I think about what I put out there, I will receive back. And so because the focus has been on me recently, it's been, okay, start loving myself a little more. Okay, I'll get that respect back, you know. And I'm noticing that. I'm noticing that taking place. I'm like, okay. It's absolutely incredible. But, you know, the fact that you're putting it out there for people to understand this in such a beautiful way as well, ways that people can relate to, and it's gentle, it's empowering. It's so inspiring, darling. It really is.
Thank you. Thank you. Like, and that was like my aim. It's just like when I sat down, I was just like, I know that if I went through there, there has to be other women out there going through the exact same thing, or even young girls, because there's certain lessons that we learn later on in life. And you're like, if I knew this in my 20s, like, you know, it might have helped me a little bit.
I know. So many times. I'm sure you have, Andy, as well. Like, you know, that saying that if only I knew then what I know now. It's so true.
My motto is, if only I knew what I'm going to know tomorrow, today. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, very good. Yeah. I like that one.
That's a good one.
because we've talked about this. We've talked about this extensively for a while. Is what you you know, so many people bring their pasts and what they've done and what they didn't do and issues and controversy and obstacles that have affected their life, you know, and everything affects your life, whether it's a positive or not, whether it's a negative influence in your life or positive. But one thing is for sure, absolutely a fact, and that is whatever that was, whether it was real or whether it was actually perceived and really didn't happen, but you perceived it as something that happened, right? But the fact is, however that manifests itself, is it did happen. And the calendar was yesterday, and you can't recreate that calendar for today. So the only thing we can do is look at the empty palette that we have to draw upon tomorrow, because it didn't happen. That's the power in our life. That's what we can make. That's where the motivation, the empowerment, and what I'm going to get done, in no matter what the arena of your life, no matter what area of your life, you can make it happen, because the whole world is an empty palette starting a minute from now. Because you can't go back in time and change the way something happened, because it already did. So that's why I like to look in the future and say, hey, what am I doing? What did I do? What did I do a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now? And then walk backward and figure out, how the heck did I get there? You know, I find that more.
That's amazing. That's actually amazing way to look at it. It reminds me of that book, The Power of Now. I don't know if you read that one.
Oh my goodness, no. I was about to mention that, sweetheart. Please carry on.
Yes, but it is an amazing book, and it talks about how to train our mind to live in the present moment of now and the importance of doing so. And it kind of gives you the idea, like, if you're always looking backwards, you're going to be in regret. And if you're looking too far ahead, you're always going to be anxious. And so it tells you to train your mind to focus on the right now at this moment, what you're doing in this moment, in this second, and fully be and resonate with that. Because so many times, like, we go through the day and we're so overwhelmed and taken over by mundane tasks.
Yes.
And so it's constantly we're thinking, oh, what am I going to do for dinner? We're never thinking about the present moment that we're in. We're always thinking ahead. We were like, oh, maybe I need to go to grocery shopping. I need to do this. I need to do that. And it's very rare that we sit in the present moment and we just sit in stillness with ourselves.
Yes, I agree with that completely. Excuse me, right clear my throat. I agree with that completely. I think it was Eckhart Tolle, right, who did the book, The Power of Now, I think it was. Yes.
I love him. He's excellent.
Yes.
He has New Earth, too.
Yes.
He's a great
author. I know. Absolutely. I mean, when I started reading his work and I started watching his videos, I was like, my God, this guy gets it. And he really put me in that peaceful place of, okay, so let's take my mind out of the future and the past, because according to him, the mind only knows how to do two things, and that's either exist in the past or the future. So it's kind of retraining the mind to be in the present. And I forget that a lot of the time. I try to do that when it's usually when I'm struggling with something. I go, okay, Amanda, okay, breathe, find that Zen place, you know, and remind yourself that everything that you're in right now, that's all there is. There is no past, there is no future. It's been and gone. The future hasn't yet come. Whatever's created comes from this moment. And so I have to remind myself to be in that peace to then bring forth even more peace. And you find that happiness and that joy within you. And, you know, that's when you really start to come to yourself, right? And you discover all those things about yourself. And it's just such a beautiful thing. I'm so happy you mentioned that.
It's one of my favorites. I love that book.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. I don't know if you know much about Eckhart, Andy.
No, I honestly don't.
Oh, he's an amazing guy, absolutely amazing guy.
I've got to look into that. I've got, I've got some notes here that I took from your bio, and I'm impressed by some quotes that you have published here that you used to live by or that you admire. And one of them is by Mark Twain, which I also find most intriguing, and dive into that and see what that means and where that goes. But one is, the two most important days in your life are the day you are born and the day that you find out why. And that's Mark Twain. And
wow.
Yeah.
I love that. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And I think that's a soul-searching thing that we all go on, right, to find out our meaning for being here, to find that purpose. Because let's face it, we're brought up in a society that teaches you, okay, so go out there, find a job, make a career, live the ultimate dream, and you'll be happy. the truth of the matter is you can have all those things and you still won't be happy because there's that thing in you that says, yeah, I'm not truly fulfilled by this. Why? I don't understand why. Everybody else seems to be fulfilled, but they're not. That in itself is an illusion. You know, they're trying to find that within those things, outer surroundings, and they don't understand why they feel the way they feel. And it's not until you have something like a painful breakup or a serious accident, something that really shakes your world to the core that says, okay, stop, pay attention. You've been feeling this way because
of
this.
And you know what? As sad as COVID has been, I think that was that pivotal moment for a lot of people. Like, I think it just shook up the world. And like how we were talking about living in the present, I think it forced a lot of people to sit in stillness. In a way that we had not done before. And so, like, even for me, I said that it was like a blessing and a curse because, yes, all those bad things happened from it. But I felt like in that stillness, it's like I gained so much introspection, just sitting with myself and finally just being able to listen to my innermost thoughts and to be with myself. Because we go through the day and we're like, we're never truly just with our thoughts and with our inner self. There's always some task that has to be completed. It's such rush, rush, rush. It's such the loudness of the day.
Yeah.
It silences us. And so it's kind of like everybody going back to that side of them and getting in touch with their inner self. And I think that did that. It was like a reset for a lot of people.
I'm so on the same page, sweetheart. I've been saying that to my loved ones. You know, because it's obviously a huge subject that, you know, everybody's always talking about it. It's everywhere you look. And, you know, I had those deep moments. I sat there and I'm like, yo, mum. She's like, what? What's coming next? Because she knows how deep I can be. And she's not quite there with me. I mean, she has those moments where she'll say something and express something that seems quite deep, but then it kind of bypasses again. You know, we don't really go there with her. And I'm like, you know, this COVID thing. She's like, yeah. I said, have you ever thought about how it's truly affecting the world, its purpose? She's like, no. I was like, okay. So, you know, I tried to touch deeper with her, and I think it scares a lot of people to think that deeply. All they see is this nasty virus pandemic breaking out, and that it has no meaning other than it's just evolved. And I respect that. And yes, in that sense, it has. Truly, science and, you know, spirituality quite often go hand in hand. And it all comes back to what people believe with how deep this goes. If everything is a lesson in life, whether it's all brought to help you come to a standstill. And let's face it, humanity is at that level where we need to step away from fear-based thinking and fear-based actions and come back to ourselves to experience a deeper harmony within ourselves. And that might sound new age, but, you know, I think this has been the perfect opportunity for us to do exactly what you just said, come back to ourselves and understand that this can be something we rise above. This can be an opportunity to really connect with life and ourselves on such a deeper level. And I've always seen that as a perfect opportunity to do that. I've gone out and the world stood still from, you know, a lockdown, and I've been, wow, okay, so look at all these streets I've got to myself when I'm walking. I'm feeling that space and that stillness, and it's like, wow, this is incredible. But at the same time, I've missed being around people, right? Which is a natural human thing. But I've been learning to appreciate all the positives within the negatives, and that's something everybody's struggling with because we're so focused on what we're lacking that we miss out on what's truly a gift within that moment.
I'll tell you what I've been...
Go ahead.
I was gonna say, I know you're talking about, you know, you got these streets to yourself. I'm in LA. I live to the east of downtown LA, and I live like what would normally be about 30-35 minute ride to the beach and about a 10 minute ride or less to the maybe 5 minute ride to the mountains. So it's a great location, but to the beach would normally can be, I mean, I'm in LA, it could, you know, that 20-35 minute ride can be an hour in normal, no COVID, and it could be an hour and a half or more going west to east, you know, back here. And during COVID, I zipped down the beach in 25 minutes. I zipped back from the beach in 25 minutes. I'm like, whoa, hey, you know, Whoa. But I was going to ask you a question. Yes. Mandy, what was I going to ask? Do you know what I was going to ask?
Hang on, Annie. Wait. Hang on. No, I'm sorry. I can't get it. No.
What was I going to say? Oh yes. So you actually started your career. You were doing a talk show at one time, right? You were doing a talk show co-host for a show early on in your career.
Yeah, so we did. It was actually a pilot. It ran like a couple episodes, and it did not get picked up by the networks, but it was short-lived. But yeah, I did do the co-hosting. It was for a show called The Skeeter Murray Show.
Awesome.
Yeah. So I was his co-host. We ran about maybe like 4 episodes.
Okay.
And
well,
how was that for you? Did you enjoy it?
I did. It was fun. I got to sit down with some celebrities, some athletes, and musicians, and just got to interview them and be on the other side of things for once.
Yeah, it's funny because Amanda and I are both, you know, my normal full-time gig is I'm a writer and performer of fingerpick and blues and folk and, you know, acoustic folk music and acoustic Americana roots music, they call it. And that's what I, you know, 28 years, thousands of shows all over, and suddenly it came to a screeching halt. And I've been, as you said, I've been on NPR, many radio shows, I've been on morning television shows as a musician, as a touring artist. And if you'd asked me years ago, you know, would I ever have this radio show, I'd be, what show? And it, you know, kind of interesting how this program came to be, but it came to be as a result of COVID, and here we have this, you know, as I said, 270 some episodes now, and we hit a year anniversary on April 15th of the Coast to Coast show, and it's interesting how life just you don't know. You know, you step up to the plate and you see what pitch comes in and you hit the ball as far as you can, you know?
Well, I got to tell you, Andy, for me, the way it happened for me is I've explained this to Cornell, our coordinator, the week before he asked me to come on to the show as a guest, I was like, yo, universe, okay, so I've got this thing that I really need right now. I need to find that positivity in my life direction. I need something that's going to, you know, fulfill me. It was just all in one moment, and I felt confident in that question, and then I let it go. And within a week, Cornell then came to me and said, Amanda, we would love to have you on as a guest after, you know, doing some design work for the show. And I was like, wow, okay. And I didn't really think any more of it than that. I just got onto the show. I was like, wow, this is great. I'm a guest. Wow, I've never done this before. This is great. And then, you know, I was just like, I'm just a designer at the end of the day, you know, graphic designer. And so it was such an experience and a trip, and I was just like, okay, universe, I get it now. Thank you for having my back and showing me that once I trust, you know, ask for something and trust enough that, you know, opportunities are going to arise. But of course, you've got to be open to those opportunities. And I think that's what happened, you know?
It's just like another great one that I love. I love Neville Goddard, and he goes like even deeper with the law of attraction. And he proposes it as like using like metaphysics, saying to manifest something in the physical reality that we must make it exist on multiple planes. So one, we're making it exist inside of our thoughts. You know, it's like this seed that we are planting in our thoughts. And with every reoccurring thought after that, we are either watering the seed or we're digging it up. So we can reinforce that thought. Or we can, you know, be counterproductive and put the neck, oh, well, that's not going to happen. And then we, you know, negate it forever happening. But we could do one or two things. But if we do that, and then we operate in the spirit of gratitude, like the universe, it's almost like with acting. So the way that I look at it, it's almost like with acting. When I'm acting and I'm in a role, my body doesn't know if the tears that I am crying are real or fake. It doesn't say, oh, you're acting. This is not real pain.
Yes.
You're faking.
Yes. Yeah.
So the same thing, like with thoughts that we put, like our mind, our body does not know that, okay, I envision this as myself. This is what I, the thought that I have put in my mind, and this is what I see. It can't differentiate whether that's reality or not. So then the universe is kind of has no way, no choice but to make that reality.
Yes, I'm so on board with that. Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I to be honest, I didn't realize I had the ability to connect with that on that level, and it's only been in the process of about a year. A little backstory: I lost my father, and they quite often say that when you experience death, quite often dramatic changes take place in your life. Something shifts, and I think there was a huge shift within myself that opened up a way for me to be more fearless and more confident in who I was, what I was doing, and moving forward in life. And I noticed from that shift onwards that things started to escalate for me. The more I was open to these opportunities and wanting them, that they were starting to present themselves. And I find that absolutely incredible.
That is
amazing.
So I have a question. You have a you wrote a book called Setting Fire to the Darkness, right? And that was a more of a romance, a lot of romance. Is that now? If now I got if I'm gonna be in the movie for this, when the romance scenes happen, all the lights have to be turned off. And there's no light allowed, and everybody has to leave the room. Now, that being said, when are we going to production here? Yeah. See, you know what I mean?
So I definitely want to turn that one into a movie. And that one, it's like, okay. So I don't know if you guys have like Sons of Anarchy over there. Have you ever watched the show Sons of Anarchy?
Yes.
Okay, so I based the main character off of Jax Teller. And so it's kind of like Sons of Anarchy meets 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, I like it. I like that. What brought you to those two aspects? What brought them together?
So the one thing that I liked, because, you know, I am like very philosophical. One thing that I really liked about the Sons of Anarchy and Jax Teller's character is that he was like, he was almost a philosopher in itself. Like he would do the journals and it was a little bit of Greek mythology. I was telling Andy earlier that when I was growing up, I had this strange infatuation for Greek mythology. So I don't know if a lot of people know this, but Kirk Sutter actually based that whole story on one of the Greek mythology stories, where the one where the guy falls in love with his mother and kills his father, and it was like predestined that he was going to do this, so he sent his son away, but in the action of sending him away is what caused it to occur.
Wow.
But he sent him away for when it happened. But yeah, he based that whole show was based on a story from Greek mythology.
Wow.
Yeah, and I thought that was really cool.
Yeah,
I have a question. Like mixing around like that.
Is it hard to write intimate scenes, do you think?
Maybe that's
a
question you should ask China.
Maybe, I don't know.
China. China is so knowledgeable. We keep having to ask China so many questions, you know?
We have. I know.
Yeah.
But
thanks to Trump.
Yes. Thank you, Donald. Anyway, we will ask China later. But in the meantime, we have a special guest, J.M. Posen, on the Andy Manna program. Our number is 515-605-9888. Yeah, let's dive right back into that. Writing like romantic, intimate scenes. That's something I can probably get into. Tell me about doing that. What's that all about? Is that hard to dive into? I mean, how do you do that?
I don't think it is. Another thing is, like, you know, a great writer once told me, like, in anything that you do, to be inspired, you must read. You got to be inspired to write things that are inspiring. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I would just read different books. And the research was kind of, you know, part of it, that was funny. And, like, I think I was dating this guy at the time, and I was like, I have to buy all of these toys for research because I need to know what I'm writing about.
Wow. What was his response? I bet he was like, okay, let's do this.
And it was so funny because I think we had went on a ski trip. We had went on a ski trip one day,
yeah.
And I had like all of these stuff in the room, and he's like, I don't even know how we're going to explain this to housekeeping.
Gosh, I was saying, just show we one of the shows we think last week, a week before that I've done some acting work. I never really planned on doing any acting work. I just got into it somehow and met an agent. Next thing you know, I started getting acting gigs, and it came to a point where I had to do a romantic scene as part of a setup for a show we were doing, and everybody was on set and all.
This ain't reality TV.
Yeah, this ain't reality TV. just being on. You were talking before about acting and the emotion of crying and other emotions, laughing as well. And there, it's part of the size and it's part of the set that you're in. And what I've always thought, and I kind of on set. And having done some pilots and some indie movies and some TV shows, not ever having wanting to see, I'm a guitar player, that's what I do. And the show now, of course. And so the acting gigs just kind of fell and had an agent and I'd get phone calls and can you do this, and this. And I've done a whole bunch of TV shows and some minor parts and some lead parts in indie films. And, it's been a blast. I've just been a blast because I've kind of been on set saying, wow, this is, I feel like a tourist, this is how they do this. This is how they do that. But what I've found is this, that when an actor acts as part of an audition, they probably will not get a call back. As opposed to an actor, I don't even call them actors. I don't even know if that's the right word. I've been wrestling that in my own head. If that's because what you're interpreting, not really acting. You're a successful, effective actor who portrays a character on screen, on the stage, on your TV tube, is one that their life affects you. It lands in your heart, not in your eyes or in your ear, but it really, because they can interpret the life of the character that they're portraying. And to the point where, this scene, this character might, there might be in their 40s or 50s or 30s, but the person who gets that role knows that, can dive into who that character is to the point where they remember them getting on the school bus in second grade, even though that's not even in this film. I mean, it never even touches it. But they're so related. It's about the relatedness of who you're in the scenes with and what the story's about and where this is going and how you relate to that and how you react to that, not acting in that, because if you can see right through it. And we've all seen movies and TV shows and so forth where we've seen actors and we said, I like the script. I like it. They probably could have done that person, although they were obviously talented, whatever, probably not the best choice for that role. I'd rather have seen this person in that role. And why, why is that? But it's just kind of interesting to me. That's all. And again, I know nothing at all I'm talking about.
My coach, he always says, make it honest. Like, it's one thing that I will say that I have loved and that acting has taught me is, like, when we talk about knowing ourselves, that's one of those jobs where you absolutely have to be in tune with who you are. How can you portray other people if you don't even know who you are? But it's a level of honesty. It's such, like, to be a great actress or actor, you have to have such a level of honesty within yourself. And I think that was one of the things that it really taught me. It challenged me to be honest. And when you open up that doorway to different emotions, you have to be willing to do that. And even more so, another thing that I was just like, oh, I kind of love, like, acting for me is like a spiritual catharsis. There were things that I was feeling that were like probably laying dormant that I thought, oh, I may have healed And, you know, we all have those things that we think that we've healed from, and they present themselves in the most inopportune times, right?
Oh, yes, yes.
And with acting, it provided a platform. So it's like all of this stuff that's pent up, and I didn't even know it was there, and it would come out in certain things, and I'm like, oh, at least it came out in a productive way. Opposed to later on down the line coming out in some other area of my life. And I didn't even realize that I was harboring that.
Wow. That's incredible.
You know, it's interesting to me. And when I, having, you know, here I am playing stages and I'm doing, and I never even knew I'd be doing that. I mean, if you would ask me, you know, I started my career as Amanda as well, where I started my career as a professional pilot. You know, I've got thousands of hours flying jet airplanes. And I remember when I first started playing music and getting a record deal during a pilot furlough, I was interviewed for this big newspaper, and the journalist said, so, there, you know, you were, you know, just a year ago or so, you were flying airplanes around the country, flying passengers, you know, checking in the hotels, seeing the world, and now you're traveling with your guitar. What's the difference between the two careers? I mean, how do you go from one to the other? And I thought about that. And my response was, quite candidly, I said, you know, basically the same job, just a different kind of microphone, you know. But what I found was this: having you're on stage, and I kind of dive into even being a pilot. You know, we've talked about this. You know, the philosophy, the philosophical values of what one does as a career. Like, dive into what drives that? What's underneath all that? And how does that work? And how does that parlay and convey to life and formulate a direction in your life and something that takes you from not what you do, but who you are? Do you do something for a living, or are you who you are for a living? Do you wake up every day and get paid to be you, or do you wake up every day and you have to go do a job and come home and do a job and come home and you can't wait till your pension comes along? You know, and so it's interesting to me that I've used this analogy, and I remember doing as a guest on a show myself, and we're talking about, you know, stage performance and the art of stage performance, and I think this applies to being, and whether an actor or a musician, a poet on stage reciting poetry, is that you go into let's say you're walking down the street with a bunch of entertainment venues, and you walk into one. And you sit with your friends and you sit down, you grab a beer or coffee, a sandwich, whatever it is, and there's a musician on stage playing songs. And you're quiet for a second and you turn your heads to the musician and they're doing a tune that you like or whatever it might be. And you're quiet for a couple of minutes maybe, and you hear them and you say, oh, they're good. Oh, that's good. And then you start your conversation even though the musician's up there playing. All right? Then you leave that venue. You go to the next venue next door. When you walk in, there's a musician playing in that venue, but you can hear a pin drop. There is no noise. There's nobody talking. The musician in the first venue may have actually been of a higher skill level, maybe. But what is it about that second venue? What is it about that musician that engulfed the entire audience, that he or she or they had that audience in their palm? Was it the fact that they're playing C, G, and D chords? Well, the musician in the first venue may have been playing C, G, and D. Is it the lyrics? Yeah. You really listen to the lyrics? I mean, you really, or do you listen? It's, you know, so what is it about that? And what I found was, now there you are playing music, and I being on stage myself and having played to thousands in a festival or playing to 40 people in a folk club somewhere, it's not about performing and here I am on the guitar and here's my songs. It's about engaging and sharing your life and getting them in tune, expressing something where what you're expressing might mean something different to everybody in that audience, but they can relate to whatever that is that you're putting out there. It lands in their heart, not in their ears. And that's just my, and I think, and then when I went on to do acting work, I found myself, wow, there's a commonality here. There's something, you know, and maybe I might get too, as a performer, you know, I might get too much in my own head about, how's all this? This is so cool. How's all this working? Why do people respond? And what is it that you do that makes people respond? And I might get, you know, so tied up in that conversation in my head that I'm wondering. That's why I just sit here on the radio and talk about whatever I want to, because I don't have to deal
with
it.
These are healthy questions, Andy. They are very healthy questions to have, definitely, because they do open up your mind to go deeper within this and access something that you probably weren't aware of before. And then suddenly you've come to that and you're like, okay, I get it. And then that starts developing, and then that leads to the next stepping stone of truth, if you want to call it truth. You know, I love the whole aspect you just delivered there, and it's a whole other way of looking at everything else we've just been discussing. That got me thinking, Andy. You know, I think it's beautiful, absolutely beautiful, and you're right.
So J.M. Posen is our guest here on the Andy and Amanda Show. And you, do you have any books in the works right now that you want to talk about that are coming out anytime in the near future? What's next on the horizon?
So I do have a self-help book. Again, this is another one geared towards women. It's called The Missing Crown Jewels.
Ooh.
So it's talking about, you know, certain things. Like in relationships, again, the things that we may have lost that we're trying to get back, just things that we don't even notice, like, you know. And I believe that in every relationship there's remnants. It's these remnants that we have left behind. What are we carrying with us from past lovers and past relationships that we don't even know why we're so heavy internally? Is because we're holding on to certain things, and it affects how we move forward in our decisions with new mates and new partners. That's the one that I'm currently working on. It's called Missing Crown Jewels. That'll be the next one out.
Wow, that sounds awesome. And I think, you know, a lot of people are looking for that kind of inspiration and help right now, because, you know, like I expressed earlier with the transition I'm going through, and I'm not naive enough to think I'm the only one going through it. And I remind myself I'm not the only one going through it. And, you know, There's lots of things that we can do to help ourselves, and I think reaching for a book like yours, sweetheart, would be a great way to start.
Thank you. Like, that is my aim. I just, you know, I said, I feel like I've given this talent, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the way that I show appreciation and gratitude towards God for the talents that I've been given is that I want to leave this earth, and I want to use every last ounce of my God-given talent. I don't want there to be anything left over, you know. And so, like, that's why I pursue everything. Like, I'm trying to do all these different things, because it's like, if it's in me and I felt like God gave me the ability to do it, then it's my responsibility to do.
That's beautiful. Yeah, I mean, I feel the same way as you, without boring you. I feel like I'm delivering so much of my life to you right now, darling. We're interviewing you. But, you know, I love helping people. You know, I've spent many years on Facebook doing such things, you know, expressing my journey and the positivity that I can bring to other people's lives and how to help them progress, you know, moving forward. And so I totally relate to everything you've just expressed. It's when you feel you have that ability to reach people, or a certain gift, like Andy's gift with music, or, you know, you being an actor, then there's ways to touch people's lives. And if we're inspired to do so, if we feel that inner calling to do that, you know, and use our gifts to the highest degree, then I think we're not living a life in vain, and we're living out our purpose, and that's a beautiful thing.
Absolutely.
I'm on board. I support you, darling.
I rather enjoy it myself.
Oh, you enjoy it too. Awesome.
Yes.
How about you, Andy?
Yes. I'm on board. Well, you know, this is what, you know, what I say is what I say. Where did that come from? No, you know, it's
really
it's,
hard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is very hard. It is. Well, our guest is, again, has been J.M. Posen. I want to thank you for joining us here on the Andy and Amanda Show. And it's so great to hear about what you're doing, your accomplishments, not only as a poet, but as an award-winning author, as an actor, as a screenwriter. Just fabulous to see. It really, really is.
It's very inspiring.
Did you play music? You have an interest in music as well, right? You play music. You play music?
No, I cannot sing to save my life.
Well,
no.
Can you sing? If I played some Elvis, could you sing along with us?
Oh, no, Andy.
No, I don't think it would be
Elvis.
Really entertaining.
Caught in a trap.
No, you don't.
What? I thought you wanted to sing with us, Amanda. You gotta sing.
I'm happy for our beautiful guest to sing. However, that song comes on, I'm gonna mute the.
I'd rather you put on Bruce Springsteen.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's more like it. Not against Elvis, but you know that song has tormented me enough.
Oh, thank you guys so much for having me again.
Oh, it's been a blessing, sweetheart.
It's great having you on board the show, and we'll check in with you from time to time. You're welcome back anytime. It'll be great to see as your projects come to fruition, your future projects and your acting gigs. You know, I want to hear about all. We want to hear all about you, and we're going to put some links to your works on our website. And again, J.M. Posen again is our guest, and her works and published books. Award-winning author, and her published books are available at Amazon and wherever your outlets are to buy books and publish works. You'll find works by J.M. Posen, and it's wonderful to have you on our show, and we'll welcome you back in the future. And your career and what you've done, and we've talked about what your inspirations have been, and you know, your breakthroughs in your career have just been fabulous. And here, you know, again, we talked about being. You know, you get up every day and who you are is what you do in life. It's not what you do. Mm-hmm. It's who you are. You know, it's being. It's not doing. It's being. And I think you've been a perfect depiction of what that is about. You know, your drive and your passion, your commitment.
I agree.
It's wonderful to see. It's refreshing. It's great to see.
I hope our listeners feel very inspired by that and take that example and, can transform themselves. Go out and buy her books, people. Go out and buy her books. They're beautiful.
Thank you. Please do. Thank you, guys.
You're welcome.
Oh, and real quick, because do you have a website? Do you have a website of that somebody could tune into to – Facebook, website, Insta, what do you call it, infrared again?
Instagram, darling. This is
Instagram.
So, yes, I am on IG. I'm under, on Instagram, it's author_Giovanna Marie. Mm-hmm. And I'm also, I have my Amazon Author Central page. So you just go on Amazon and you type in J.M. Posen, it'll come up. You just put it into Google, it should pop right up.
Wonderful. Thank you, sweetheart.
Wonderful. I would love to, again, if I, you know, I want to play a song. I won't do a whole other track. Do you remember this one? Wait a minute.
What's it all about?
Oh. Sing with me, folks. Come on out there, Radio Land. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, Reginald. Thank you.
Oh, that was beautiful, Andy. Very good.
Thank you. I want to get a little sing along here before we go. You know what I'm saying? Thank you. Much appreciated. Thank you very much. Anyway, as I was saying, thank you, J.M. Posen, for joining our show today. We look forward to having you back, and all the very best with your continued wonderful endeavors and your works that we're about to, I'm sure, we'll be talking and about in the near future. So again, thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you both.
You take care and look after yourself, and we hope to connect with you again in the near future.
Okay, take care, and be seeing you guys soon, I'm sure.
I'd love that, and I wish you every success with all of your projects and endeavors to help people. I think it's amazing.
And we will be having J.M. Posen back on the show again, folks, so stay tuned, and we're going to take a little commercial break here. I don't really want to take a commercial break. I think we have to take a commercial. We haven't. Time for commercial
break. Okay, that sounds good.
All right. All right. Anyway, we'll be right back after these messages. Again, J.M. Posen, thanks very much for joining our show, and we will definitely be in touch. Take care.
Dear Mainland, aloha. My brother and I know all about your to-do list, but have you also considered making a to-don't list? Like, don't forget hang time with your ohana. Don't forget to step outside every now and then. And don't forget the big wave golden ale. So maybe you make a to-don't list today, yeah?
Put it on your to-do list.
Good one, brother. One life, right? Mahalo. Longboard Island Lager and Big Wave Golden Ale from Kona Brewing.
Kona, that's my beer. That's my beer of choice, folks. Kona Brewing. Kona Brewing. I was introduced to it in Hawaii, and have been buying it ever since. You don't have Kona beer there, do you, Amanda? Do you have Kona beer over there?
Sadly, Andy, we don't, and I'm very disappointed by this because I hear so many wonderful things about it, and, you know, it gets my taste buds intrigued because I like a good beer. I like to kick back with beer. I'm that type of girl. I'm a beer girl. You know, I don't really go for spirits and fancy wines and things like that. I'm just a simple beer girl.
Much too rough.
Yeah. Much too rough. What's your beer of choice over there? Even though we are partial to Kona beer on the show, we know that, but it's okay. And folks, if you haven't had a Kona beer, if you haven't tried it, go to your local beer distributor outlet or Total Wine Store, as the case may be, and get the variety pack, and you'll get a sampling of all the various beers that they produce there. And I said it, I think. Previously, I go to the Total Wine Store and look at all the different cases of beer they have in the cooler, and I want to try something else. Maybe take a break because I get a lot of Kona beer, and I keep getting. I said, "Man, I'm just gonna get Kona beer. Just gonna get it again." But anyway, what's your beer of choice there? Are you a beer drinker, huh?
I am, but I'm not like a heavy drinker. Every now and again, I fancy a beer. Yeah, I'll have one. You know, I try to be sensible. I've never been big on drinking or smoking. So for me, just to go to the fridge every now and again and say, yeah, I'm going to have a beer. Yeah, there's one in there, I'll have it. For the longest time, I was like, what's the difference between beer and lager? I could never work that out. Because as I said, I'm not exactly a connoisseur when it comes to things like that. So, you know, when I go to the store, I usually pick out something it's either a Corona that I like drinking, Heineken, quite nice. I drank Budweiser. I was always quite partial to Budweiser. Not Bud Light, no, Budweiser. But they're mainly the three that I tend to go for. I do tend to try some ales every now and again, but yeah, that's just me. I'm basic when it comes to drinking, really. So, you know, I'm a bit boring in that sense, Andy. I'm sorry.
And how was your week? This is Monday. Yeah. This is the 5 o'clock somewhere Monday show. Our special guest today has been author poet J. M. Posen. But I've got to ask you the question, Amanda. How was your weekend?
My weekend was beautiful. It was Mother's Day on Sunday. So
it was?
You know,
wow.
I spent the day, you know, showing my mama lots of love and affection, reminding her, you know, that she's helped me so much in life, and I'm grateful that she gave me life, and, you know, making her feel like the queen that she truly is. So it's been beautiful, darling. Absolutely beautiful. How about yourself?
I'll answer the question.
Yesterday was my daughter's 24th birthday. I can't believe it. My daughter's birthday was yesterday.
Wow.
Happy
birthday to her.
Yeah, that's something. Yeah, we had a great time yesterday evening, her and her significant other. It's funny, her name is Justine, her boyfriend's name, and he's a great guy. Her boyfriend's name is Justin, so it's Justin and Justine.
That's amazing.
They're
that
so
is
cute.
Amazing.
I love those guys. They're great. They really are. JJ, and it's something because, you know, I talk about this, you know, it's, you know, I started late in terms of, you know, I never found anything. That's my problem. Anyway, of getting married and having kids, the whole thing happened very, very late in life for me. You know, I was 92 when I had my first kid. but anyway, being able, you know, you know, that your first baby is born and suddenly they're 24 and you're like, oh my God. And you remember back in the toddler days and the infant days when you meet people, and I lived in a high rise and I was a stay at home dad, and you take this baby up and down the elevator on the stroller for walks, and people say, oh, what a cute baby. Enjoy it. It goes by quickly. It goes by so fast. Enjoy it. And you're like, yeah right. Cause you're with the toddler and the clothes and the naps and the diapers and all this. It goes by quickly. Does it?
Yeah.
And you snap your fingers and you're 24 years old and boom. And I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that. It's just unbelievable. I've been told that, you know, and when I see, you know, friends who, and people just in general who have, you know, newborn infants and young ones, and I tell them the same story, and I say, you know, people used to tell me it goes by fast, and I was like, what? And you know something? You know, I my advice to new parents is start investing in algebra books now, and get brush up on your geometry and that algebra when your kid comes to you and says, how do you find an absolute variable of a domain? You're like, what? what?
Yeah, I would not be answering that, Andy.
A what?
Yeah, that's my response.
So brush up on that algebra, guys, girls. You know, your kid comes up to you and, you know, what does X mean? And what is osmosis? Dad, how would you define osmosis? Hey, and guess what? You ready for this? I know what it is.
What's that?
I remember in biology, ninth grade biology.
Okay.
Mr. Here's to you, Mrs. Robinson. That wasn't Robinson. Something like that. Mr. My God, I could see his face. I can't believe I'm starting to lose it. Anyway, I remember his voice saying this. I remember him saying this. Test question.
Yeah.
Front of the room, pacing back and forth. He was a great guy. He was a great biology teacher. You know, a lot of animation, animated. You know, you couldn't help but engage in what he – and that's part of being a good teacher, I think. But anyway, that's another subject. And he said this. Test question, osmosis, selective diffusion through a semi-permeable membrane. That is the answer. Here's the question. What is osmosis? Osmosis is selective diffusion through a semi-permeable membrane. You put that down, you get it right. And I never forgot
Whoa.
It. Now, what does that mean?
Whoa.
I have no idea. But yeah, you know,
you got kind of like a photographic memory kind of thing, so you can just take down these notes. But that's over my head, Andy. I got to admit.
anybody in science, any of our listeners who are into science, biology, medicine, I'm sure I know they're out there, will know exactly what I just said and tell you that's what osmosis is. Now, what does that mean? It probably means that
it was really hard.
Yeah. That's what it all comes down to. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Don't ask me. Ask China that question.
Yeah.
What osmosis is? Yeah. I don't know.
Okay, China,
maybe.
This one's yours.
Yeah.
Can you tell us,
please? Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. So did she have a really beautiful birthday? She enjoy herself?
Wish, and I guess men sometimes don't know what to say.
Mm-hmm. But given that, no, she had a great birthday, actually. She had a lot of friends all weekend long. She had a lot of friends over, and she's so much loved by all her friends. She's a great – I'm not just speaking as a dad. I know it's hard, you know, just objectively. She's one hell of a bright, energetic, fun, quick sense of humor, effective human being. I mean, just really – I guess so many compliments, and you can't, you know, as a parent, as a dad, you know, and people say, oh my God, that daughter, and both daughters, actually, one's, you know, 3,000 miles away, both, but I've been very fortunate in that the ride as being a parent for me has been absolutely amazing every step of the way. And I remember holding the infants and knowing some issues. Not all women, but Amanda might be able to relate, because if not you, then friends or something. But when girls typically, and I saw this in my own house growing up, when girls go through adolescence, it can be challenging. More challenging than raising a son. So I've heard. I've never had a son, but I've always wanted daughters. My whole life, I've always wanted to raise little girls. I don't know. You know. Well, I've always wanted that for whatever reason. It's always wanted a little girl, and the ride. We never had that. I never had that with my girls. It's been just incredible from infancy through their lives. It's just been such an amazingly joyful, get, you know, just enriching experience. And and it's funny because sometimes I'll get a text from my girls, and they'll comment about things they witnessed in life, and in the text will be, "I'm just so thankful of how you raised me." And as a parent, you know, I get that, and I didn't solicit that. That just comes from my girls, you know. And I'm like, And here's the answer to that. I did absolutely nothing. Let them be. They were fine. You know, I just did nothing. I seriously did nothing as a parent. I've always tempted to write a book called Child Rearing According to Me, or being you know, a stay at home dad according to you know, how do you do that? And I just seriously just the boundaries of what you could do and what you couldn't do, and what is it. You know, there are certain things in life you don't want to hurt anybody else, and you don't want to get hurt, and not just physically, but emotionally and mentally and psychologically and all those other things too. Just being hurt in general. Yeah. And outside of that, go ahead and be. Go ahead and go be. Go explore. Go do. Go find out. Yeah. Inquire. Yeah. Never accept an answer. Why is that? Is that really true? Is it really true? And what makes a story? And what makes agreement? What makes something true? What makes something true? Is it because I tell you and therefore it's true?
Yes.
No. Again, Amanda, what is, for example, what is osmosis?
It sounds like someone back in Jesus' day. Ah, oh, that's osmosis. Other than that, straight over the head, Abney. Straight over the head. I'm ashamed to say.
I know what it is.
Doggy style for sure.
Yep.
That's what it is. Okay. I remember that conversation. Oh yeah, you've had some ideas tonight.
My definition might be different than your definition, but I learned it was about this doggy style thing happening, you know. But anyway, anyway. Yeah, so you know what does? We're not done yet. Hold on, we're not finished yet. What does make something true?
Well, I think. Andy, you just tripped me up with that question. Excuse me while I pick myself up off the floor. One second. okay. I'm up.
Yes.
Back in my seat. Yeah. So, I don't know. I think truth is subjective. Everybody has their own truth and level of understanding of what truth is for them. For example, if you're seeing the color purple, and the person next to you is actually seeing the color pink, it's true for them, but it's also true for you, right? It's subjective.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think, so, you know, multiple truths could exist at the same time. And I believe from many experiences that I've had in my life, what's true for me isn't necessarily true for somebody else. But what makes it true for me is how I feel about it, how it helps me progress, move forward, what it proves to be for myself, you know, because some truths, they provide evidence, some truths don't. You have to take them on sheer faith, and then eventually they reveal themselves to you. But most of the time, it just triggers a feeling of what feels right, you know, that gut instinct, that intuition that says, yes, this feels like it's truth for me. And then you follow that and you move towards it. And I think that's why we all have our own truths, because ultimately we're all living separate paths from each other. We're all trying to guide ourselves on these separate journeys from each other. And again, what's going to be true for me isn't going to be true for you, but that truth will lead me in this direction. Your truth will lead you in that direction where you're meant to be. Yeah.
So you're moving right along. I think. Keep quiet, please. Please over there.
Let me hand him a bucket. Yeah. He sounds ill again.
Yes, I agree with you. I agree with you. But we're going to parlay into that into the news. And how are we going to do that exactly?
Okay.
In Georgia, the Georgia Congress passed a voting restriction law that makes it harder for people to vote.
Right.
And how they did that was they said, well, limiting the days, you can't vote. Early voting means they open up the polls. You can actually go ahead and vote. This has been amazing this past election. You can vote, days and days ahead of the election, just, avoid the crowds, go up and vote. And every day, and they say you can't vote on Sunday. Limiting the amount of days that you can vote ahead of the election, limiting placing restrictions on mail-in voting, and all of these aspects, all these items in this congressional bill in Georgia that was passed, target, and I'm not saying specifically target, but they target minority groups who generally have a more difficult time in getting to the poll and casting their vote for whatever reason. And most of those groups are minority groups who normally vote Democrat.
Right.
So, do you know how we said on the show during the peak of the COVID crisis when Donald Trump was still president, and he said, "Well, the reason why there's so many numbers, the reason why we're getting so many positives, is because there's so much testing. If we limit the amount of testing, we'll get fewer positive results."
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Is it true?
Yeah. Well. Yeah, of course. But...
Yeah, does it get to the heart of the matter, the fact that we need to address where this came from and why is it and who's getting affected?
Yeah.
That's right. Now, here's the deal, that there has never been evidence of wide-base voter fraud. A few little single incidents here and there, a few scattered single little incidences. But there's never been any manifestation of this incredible problem that we have in the United States of America of voter fraud. That's never been on the top list of anybody, a problem we got. We've crime and drugs and different things. But voter fraud, has that been on our forefront of our minds in this country? Never, never, ever has. So the GOP, the Republican Party, says, you know what? Boy, Trump lost this election and Georgia lost the Georgia made the country lose the Senate. Well, why? Well, because so many African-Americans, so many blacks turned out to vote. Well, why don't we just restrict opportunities for them to vote and then they won't win? Instead of saying, hey, we cannot win on our own merit because of our philosophies and political ideologies, that's not happening. We can't win on that merit. So why don't we just make it harder for the other side to vote? And then we'll win because they'll have fewer voters and we'll win. If we do less testing, we'll have less positive results. Do you see the correlation here?
Yes.
Both brought forward by – I'm not – listen, I've supported Republican candidates. Republican friends of mine say that in many respects I'm more conservative than any Republican they know, and I understand where that comes from. I'm not an anti-Republican. Believe me, I'm not. But that being said, Republicans, their platforms, their primaries, what they speak of does not sit well with the majority of this country, and it does not sit well with the majority of minority parties in this country, and therefore they're going to have a difficult time moving ahead, especially if these – what I think is going to happen, and you're seeing other states follow suits. Of course, the federal government can step in, and this can be challenged in courts. And every time this type of thing has come up in court, they've lost. And just because they passed it, and it hasn't been passed, it went through the Congress, it's got to go through different branches of legislature before coming law. It can be challenged in court and will probably lose in court. But anyways, putting that aside, anytime this has been attempted in the past, it's not succeeded. But I think if it did succeed, let's just paint a picture of it succeeding and voting laws a bit – implemented, have been put in place, I think it's going to backfire. And these parties that have been affected by this, who have been targeted, are going to come out and they're going to slam, they're going to, like a slingshot, bounce this right back in their face, and not only are they going to lose, they're going to lose by margins they've never seen before. You think you're going to stop us from voting? It ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. And we'll talk more about that. We have, we're running out of time on our show already. My gosh, Amanda, there's so much more I wanted to get to.
Wow.
Gosh, there's a lot I wanted to get to. Maybe we'll come back on tomorrow. Maybe we'll do a show tomorrow, Tuesday. Anyway, if not, we'll see you Wednesday, folks. But but there's a lot I wanted to get to this show, and it's been great having Jay and Posen on the program. I knew that, you know, we've had her on, and probably there's a lot of news I wanted to cover that happened over the weekend, but it was exciting having her on. We want to thank her for the opportunity of having her on the Andy and Amanda show.
Yes.
And she was wonderful to talk to and learn about her insights and her drive and her accomplishments and her books and poetry. And look up JMPOZON, folks. If you missed the interview, wind it back and catch what she had to say. It's been great having her on board. My name is Andy Kimball. We do have Amanda Love on the other end, on the 8,000 miles away. This is the Andy and Amanda Show. We want to thank you for listening to us live. We want to thank you for chiming into the podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show. Amanda, take us home. We'll see you next show, folks.
Okay, on behalf of Andy Kimball in Hollywood and myself, I'm at 11 in the UK. Thank you for being with us and join us again on the next show. Take care, keep smiling, and be safe.
Bye-bye, folks. See you next time.
Bye, everyone.